Heller?
Yes.
Thank you. One moment, please.
Yes?
Dr. Heller calling on 92.
I just got folks coming in. Tell him that I didn't know it. I just got folks coming in. Put him on right quick and I'll listen to him all.
He's on now.
Tell him that, though.
Yes, sir. Dr. Heller.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We were not aware that people were going into his office. They're in there with him now, but he says he can listen for a minute if you can go ahead and talk.
Yes.
Thank
right.
you. Just a moment. He'll
Hello?
Be on.
Hello.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Tell you quickly that although I know from John Macy you're moving towards Andy Brimmer, there is a fallback position out here in case there's, say, trouble with Bill Martin or you have any second thoughts about Brimmer. Namely, Atherton Bean called me this morning.
Who?
Bean. B-E-A-N. This
yes.
The fellow that's head of International Milling.
What's his given name?
Atherton.
Yeah, he was here the other night, wasn't he?
Yeah, you didn't have a chance to talk
no.
to him. But it turns out that he's had a sudden change of heart about the possibility of coming into Washington. You know that he's been a contributor to your campaigns. He has, he's generally a supporter of your position.
What do you mean, generally?
Well... He believes...
Martin's generally, but I won't know if I got a guy that's...
That's going to go... Well, I wouldn't swear that he'd go every time, but I'll tell you this, Mr. President. All I had in mind was, supposing you had a situation on your hands where Bill Martin would say, well, if you appoint so-and-so, I resign.
I'm not going to have that. If I do, I'd just say, thank you, Mr. Martin. Glad to have had you around.
I see. Well... The only reason for calling...
Don't you think I ought to do that if he says that?
Well,
I don't think we ought to give the president's powers to somebody who's going to resign if he doesn't exercise his power.
I'm only thinking of the fact that there would be some cost in the...
There'd be a good deal, but it's cost us over $1 billion what he's already done.
Yeah, all right. But, there'd be some cost in both, the domestic and the international financial community.
Yes.
If you could hold him and keep him more or less on your track, for this year until he resigns in the natural course of events, then you wouldn't have any cost. That is provided that he behaves reasonably, sensibly.
I think he's ready to go again now.
Do you really?
Yeah, I wish somebody could tell me what good has flowed from the action he took before.
Well, it's beginning to slow down some investment spending, and I think it'll gradually get its way in some consumer, cutting down some consumer spending, and it's stimulating some additional saving. Sure, it raises costs, and we don't like that, but I think it does more by way of holding the horses back, which otherwise would gallop off into inflation. I mean, I'm with you as an easy money man, but there are times when you just have to take this sour medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've felt that his real sin was just sort of thumbing his nose at you last month, or rather December. But if you put any premium on this at all, there is both Atherton Bean would do it, and as I say, I think personally that he'd be with you 99% of the time, but there'd be a 1% he'd want to reserve. He would be very responsive to the staff because he's a man who depends on staff, and the staff over at the Federal Reserve is a hell of a lot more liberal and more easy money oriented than the board. I don't know whether you're aware of that.
No.
But if they were doing the voting, they never would have voted for tight money in December. At the very least, they would have waited and made it a coordinated move in January. So...
Did they gain anything by that 3 weeks jump of the gun?
Thing. Not a damn thing. I mean, I'm sore as hell about that. I don't want to be misunderstood. I mean, I felt he should have waited until January and then made it part of a coordinated budget and monetary policy.
What do you think he could say about Brimmer that would looks to me like it kind of puts him really behind the eight ball?
Well, I thought so too. I mean, I think it's a beautiful move, but he may still say, well, this man has essentially an academic frame of mind. He's never been in business, never been a decision maker. That's about the only thing I can see that he could say. But he might say that, and that's why I, interrupted to call you to say this fella Bean would be available.
Don't they have some businessmen on there now?
Shepherdson.
I thought Martin was a businessman.
And Martin, that's. But you see, Bill, I had lunch sitting next to Bill last Tuesday, and he said, well, the trouble is even the guys who aren't academics have an academic frame of mind. He said that of Robertson, which I think is damned unfair.
What was Robertson's background?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say I don't know. He's been there so long I've forgotten. But, it'd be easy to find out. But I don't think that's fair of Robertson on Robertson at all. Nevertheless, this is Bill's point of view, and
does he ever talk to any of y'all about resigning?
To me?
Yeah.
He's never said anything to me about that.
I see Slavin's got a story. I don't know whether Slavin's story in the Post came out of the Federal Reserve or Treasury.
Oh.
Joe has been advocating that we put a businessman on there.
Joe Slavin?
No, Joe Fowler.
Fowler, yeah.
And so they got a little pressure on me yesterday. They said that if they didn't have put a businessman, why, he'd resign. That almost makes me assert my manhood to take his resignation.
Yeah, I see your point. I don't know. I haven't seen the story and didn't know about it. John Macy said there was some kind of story. I didn't realize it was a Joe Slevin story. Joe's always been very close to the to both the Treasury and the Fed. It may be that you do want to go ahead with Bremer, and I think that'd be a fine appointment. The only thing I have in the back of my mind is if there was if all hell was to break loose and you didn't want it to break loose, there is this fellow Atherton Bean as a fallback, and I also talked to Galusha, Fred Deming's successor out here, and it's perfectly obvious that he doesn't want to come. But it's also, I think, clear to me that his sense of public duty would prevail if you were to bring him in. But I don't happen to think it's a good idea, because he's a superb guy to have on the Open Market Committee. And you've got to vote on the Open Market Committee through Galusha, and you don't really get an extra vote by bringing him in. So I have not felt that that was the best move. But Atherton Bean, if you are ever going to get a businessman who's really going to be fundamentally your man, and you notice there's that little hedge, fundamentally doesn't mean 100%, you're not going to find a better one anywhere in the country.
Now, I was just trying to see if Bremer had ever had any business experience.
Well, I was trying to find it, too. I combed through his background. John Macy has his docket in front of you, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything.
He's a Whitney fellow at the University of Washington. He's a student intern, economic cooperation. He's an undergraduate at the University of Washington. He's a Fulbright fellow in India. He's an administration fellow at Harvard. He's a research assistant at International Studies at MIT. He's a teaching fellow at Harvard. He's a deputy assistant to the Department of Commerce.
Right.
He's assistant professor of finance, Wharton School. He's assistant professor of finance. He's a visiting professor.
I think the thing that comes closest is those 3 years with the New York Fed and helping set up that central bank out in the Sudan. And you understand, for my money, Andy is my number one candidate, but I just thought if there were some trouble, and you did feel one way or another that it ought to be a Midwestern businessman, this fellow has just suddenly changed his mind. And it's only between him and me. No one else will ever know.
But you don't think that any of my liberal money people could criticize that appointment?
Absolutely not. Oh, you mean the Bean appointment?
Yeah.
Well, there would be people who would wonder, because they'll assume that no businessman could be really liberal, you know, in his heart on money.
Well, how do you know this fella is?
Well, there's always a little risk, Mr. President, but I just don't think that...
Are you on his board?
Yeah.
Do you know in your own mind that he is liberal on money?
Professors can misguess
these politicians, and these businessmen fool you sometimes.
Oh, you damn betcha. I'm not ruling that out, but I've checked out with Galusha. See, he's been Galusha's chairman of the board for the Federal Reserve Board.
Mm-hmm.
And Galusha is just sure, and Galusha, you see, is entirely in your corner on easy money and so forth, and he is convinced that Bean, I just talked with him.
Have you ever talked to Bean himself?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Does he tell you that he's in our corner?
He says he's in your corner, but he doesn't know but what he would have voted with Martin in December. And I said, well, now, is that because... you think of the timing is right, or, well, no, he said not necessarily, but he said when the economy is tight, well, we have to, when there's a pressure of inflation, we have to tighten up on money to some extent.
Who are two or three men that scare Martin to death? I guess Seymour Harris is one.
Oh, yes.
I've got...
Incidentally, he doesn't, I checked Lester Chandler with him, and he doesn't want Chandler. I think he's...
Who is Lester Chandler?
He's this fellow at Princeton, you know, that McCabe and others have spoken for. Chandler happens to be, again.
All right, now who else do we know any businessmen he doesn't want?
Well, I know he doesn't want this fellow Adcock, but he's ineligible anyway, isn't he?
That's Russell's man?
That's Russell Long's man.
All right.
Joe Fowler told me he didn't want Adcock.
Who else?
I'm kind of stuck.
Haven't you got a real liberal out there in Minnesota that's a businessman I could consider? Just get a super one. I won't tell him I'm considering Seymour Harris, Lester Chandler, and Adcock.
Offhand, I can't shake one out of my sleeve.
What about Lee Levlinger?
It never occurred to me.
Is he a businessman? Has he ever had any business experience?
No, he's been a lawyer. He's been a practicing lawyer. And was at the university for a while, but he was a practicing lawyer in Orville Freeman's firm when Kennedy brought him into Washington.
All right.
So Levinger, that'd be a pretty good specter.
Who else can you think of? What about the president of your little bank?
Bernie Jacobs? Or are you thinking of Dwayne Andreas?
What about Dwayne? Is he the president of your bank?
No, Dwayne is the financial power behind it.
Well, has he got, is he a director?
Oh, yeah, he's a director.
All right, how do you spell his name?
A-N-D-R-E-A-S.
All right.
And Dwayne is D-W-A-Y-N-E.
All right. Now, is he, what's his business?
Well, he came out of the soybean and grain business. He was next to, what's his name, Thatcher, as head of the Farmers Union Grain Terminal Association. He actually isn't very scary in fact, but he would be possibly scary as a name for this.
Well, would he go with us?
Oh, yeah, but he wouldn't. Yeah, he would go with you, unquestionably. Oh, he's contributed thousands.
I know, but would he vote with us on money matters?
Yeah.
Would he take the job?
No. That's for sure. I talked with him yesterday.
Well, and what's the real president of your bank? What's his name?
Well, that's Jacobs, Bernie Jacobs, and he would, I think, go with the with Martin more often than not. So I wouldn't.
Well, haven't you got a vice president or somebody on the board that might not that I could use? I don't guess he knows Jacobs would go with him, does he?
one